Hey guys, it's Brian from the High Spot Podcast. Thank you so much for listening to their episodes and following us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. I had the pleasure, along with my tag team partner Jeff Martin, to interview a woman who is a multitasker and a wrestling diehard, to say the least. You know, she's a wrestling purist in every sense of the word. Mary Grader, producer for Busted Open, works on BustedOpenNation.com, where Jeff and I submit our articles, not only the NXT Report, but my SmackDown Rewind, and also Mary Grader's video blogs of the Raw Report as well. She's also just a really good friend. It was really good to sit down and talk with her. We've been trying to do this interview for so long. But again, in this business, you know, Jeff and I are always busy. She's always busy doing a million things at once. And our schedules kind of conflicted. So it was really good to sit down with her prior to WrestleMania. And we kind of went down the card and kind of aired our, I wouldn't say our grievances, but just kind of aired our emotions of what we thought leading up to WrestleMania. Because as you guys knew, it wasn't as promoted as previous WrestleManias were. And for us, we were just kind of getting frustrated for the fact that one of two things: what do you put as the main event? And how do you, in terms of booking and storyline wise, want to organize and set WrestleMania off, which would lead into theoretically the new season of the WWE after WrestleMania? So it's great to sit down with Mary. Again, you can catch her on Twitter at Mare_Bear. That's MARE_BARE. She has a great following on Twitter, and just really knows her stuff. And it was just always nice to have another enthusiast in an interview with Jeff and I. So what you'll be listening to is the interview with Mary Grader from Busted Open. I hope you guys enjoy it. I'm really excited because we have somebody on the show who we value their opinion very well.
Knows what she's talking about.
She knows what she's talking about. And if she doesn't, we wouldn't be fool enough to tell her she didn't. It's Mary Grader. She runs the entire website, BustedOpenNation.com, which Jeff and I write our articles for, NXT Report, SmackDown Rewind, and she does her video blogs for the Raw Report.
Really smart there with the video blog.
With the video blog, yes. Why didn't I think of that, right? You can catch her on Twitter as well. She's the Mare, at Mare, M-A-R-E, underscore Bear, B-A-R-E. She's the Queen Bee. She basically also, she's a multitasker, this woman here, because she also runs the show for Pushing Buttons on Sirius Rush 93.
She carries that show with
Driven.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Mary, thank you so much for being on the show. How are you?
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it. I'm excited. It's the WrestleMania, and I have a lot of problems with it, and I'm glad to vent with you guys.
Well, we're going to talk about WrestleMania pretty soon, and I'm pretty sure you want to lash out, and I've heard your opinions before off air, but just real quick though, I mean, you know, Busted Open is the, you know, standard bearer now of all wrestling shows, and everyone, you know, there's a template and everybody wants to, you know, feed off that template and, you know, do their own thing. But, you know, just from where you started on Busted Open to now, can you believe, you know, how big it's gotten? And did you ever expect anything like this?
Kind of crazy. The show has grown a lot since I've been on it. I mean, it was pretty big when I started on it, but like now, it's becoming a thing where, you know, we're verified on Twitter, and you know, we have gotten huge guests and stuff like that. So it's pretty crazy. The show has grown. We're the only show that, you know, speaks to the fans that like I truly believe in on the show. We value the fans' opinion, and most of the time we agree with the fans, you know what I mean? But, you know, it has to be out there. Like, you know, wrestling isn't, pro wrestling isn't very friendly to media, as you per se, especially WWE, because they want to be so mainstream. So, like, they shy away from wrestling-based programs. And, I mean, it's an obstacle. It's an obstacle doing the show and stuff like that. But our fan base is super hardcore, and they believe in what we say, and they're always there, and they're very supportive. So, yeah, I mean, it's gotten kind of crazy in the last 3 years. They're doing big things. You know, they're going to WrestleMania again this year. They have a lot of stuff going on, and it should be a crazy week coming up in Busted Open. So everybody should check it out.
To kind of piggyback off that, Mary, you would think with all we've gone with social media and how, like you said, the WWE tries to be mainstream and how, you know, people are now, they're no longer calling it pro wrestling anymore. It's basically sports entertainment. I mean, Jeff and I, we're pure hard diehards as well as you. I mean, I still call it pro wrestling because I love the art form of it. Do you still think they still have a stigma behind them? The why, for example, you know, like the WWE, the company itself, is staying away from shows like Busted Open or anything related to possibly having wrestling main dogma behind it. Do you think it's fair to the fans and they get backlash for that?
I don't think it's fair to the fans, and I think there's always going to be a stigma behind pro wrestling, because a lot of people who don't pay attention to wrestling or they don't take it seriously is because it's just that they, you know, it's very outright that it's predetermined and people like defer it as fake. So like they don't appreciate the work that the wrestlers actually do, and like these guys, I mean, if you look at the WWE right now, there's so many injuries plaguing everything, and if it was fake, then how are they getting these injuries? You know what I mean? It takes a certain kind of animal to be a pro wrestler, and it's hard, and I think it's a disservice to the fans because, you know, I understand it's all about money and it's all about being mainstream, and like the WWE has gotten probably as far as they possibly can. Maybe they can get further, but like taking things other than wrestling, like trying to be entertainment and stuff, they kind of fall flat because they're always like a little behind, and people already perceive it as cheesy. So like I think if they focus more on the wrestlers and the skill of it and the art level of it, and that it tells a story and that there is actually, you know, an art form to it, that they would be more popular than they are. I mean, they didn't give an F or give a, you know, I don't know if I can curse on here, but they didn't.
Yeah, please do. It's
they didn't give a fuck during, you know, the Attitude Era, and that was when they were at their prime. And, like, everybody knew it was fake then, but everybody was totally into it. You know what I mean? Because there was a reality in it, and it was just like, you know, no rules. We're going to do what we want. And when you're a rebel in something, in anything, be it wrestling, be it music, be it, you know, whatever your passion is, you're always going to get that diehard following. You're always going to get noticed because, like, the people that don't get noticed are the people that conform, and they're not mainstream. You know what I mean? They're the people that go outside of the box. And I feel like it is a disservice, and it's very hard being a wrestling fan like you guys are. I've been watching wrestling since I was a little kid, since I was, like, 6 to 8 years old, and it's hard explaining to new people, like, the art form of it and the psychology of it. And, like, I feel like there would be more of a backing if they just, you know, do what they do and be their own, you know, trailblazers in their own right instead of conforming to society.
You know what, Mary, Jeff, I find it funny to have people always go to the movies, right? And like, oh, my God, look at that action scene. It's such a great movie. And, you know, these are people playing characters of the fake, where they're watching a Marvel or DC type of thing.
Or people say, hey, you seen Game of Thrones? You saw Walking
Dead?
Yeah,
and we know, like, the ending's predetermined. We know it's scripted. We know this is all, but we live vicariously through it. And yet, you know, the wrestling in general gets such a bad rap for it. Mary, another thing I wanted to ask you and I never got a chance to is that, you know, we're all diehard. Hearts, like we said before, we love it. We watched it since we were kids. Twofold here, real quick. Is it, you know, we're talking about, is it fair that, you know, the WWE kind of shuns their diehards? Because if it wasn't for their diehards, then the company wouldn't have existed for as long as it did, because we kept, you know, dumping money into the product. And secondly, how long did it take you, as it took for me, to get over the fact that, you know, guys like Jeff, like me and maybe yourself, we're no longer that demographic anymore. It's the PG era now. Is there something we should just, you know, expect to turn around full circle, or do you ever see it going back to the same way it was?
I truly believe that wrestling goes in cycles, and I also believe in general in everything that is, like, popular goes through cycles. Like, if you look right now, like, trending, like, I'm not saying, like, pop culture. Oh, well, actually, it is pop culture. Like, everything that's big right now is appealing to people that are in their 30s, so therefore it was popular when they were kids. You know, comics are really big right now, you know, and stuff like that. So it's just kind of weird that they, I do believe it's going to come full circle, because I don't think that they can deny the fan. And I disagree with the fact that the demographic is not us right now. I think that the WWE has blinders on right now. Like, I think that they're trying to appeal to kids, but, like, they were doing that when, like, John Cena was a huge thing, and it's no disrespect towards John Cena. I mean, like, I respect the man. Usually he's a great person. He's a great humanitarian, but I feel like it's over with, and those kids that were in love with him when he was 5 are teenagers now. You know what I mean? So, like, you need to evolve. Anything that keep going, or it has any status in life or burns a memory or stuff like that, you evolve. You have to change, and you can't keep staying the same way. So I don't believe that the demographic that the WWE is trying to project right now is the kids. I believe that it is back to the 18 to 34-year-old demographic, and they don't want kiddie stuff. They want, you know, violence. I'm not saying that they have to go all outright violence. I believe that they need to cater to those people, because those are the people that are spending the money. Even the people that have that are the kids, their parents are spending the money. It's not the kids spending the money. Their kids are, their parents are, you know, doing it, and their parents want to be kind of involved in it. It's like, you know, parents that take their kids to, like, One Direction concerts. You actually think that they actually want to be there, you know what I mean? They don't want to be there. They're doing it for their kids. So, like, I feel like you should appeal on all levels. And I feel like, again, it's going through a cycle. I really do believe that the PG era is on the brink of dying.
Wow.
I don't know if it's going to go back to the way that it was, extreme and stuff like that.
Yeah, because it's not like a privately owned company anymore, so they can't really theoretically do that.
But, like, the thing is that they weren't a privately owned company in 99. They went public in, like, 98 or 99, 2000. That was the tail end of the Attitude Era. And, like, after that, it was a whole bunch of, you know, girls getting naked on TV and, like, a whole bunch of excessive violence. And I'm not saying that wrestling needs that, because they don't need that. They just need to be believable, and they need to be relatable. And it's the same thing, like, I'm going to relate it to something with pop culture. It's like Deadpool. That movie wasn't going to get made, because the people that wanted to make Deadpool, they wanted it to be rated R because they wanted to stay true to the comic. And, like, they fought, and they fought, and they fought about it. And the movie was never going to get made, and Ryan Reynolds was signed on to the movie for, like, 10 years. Like, he did it in Wolverine, and they bastardized the character. And then, you know, test footage leaked, and it was a huge thing. And that movie is now on its way to being the highest grossing rated R movie of all time.
And thank goodness they made it. Thank goodness they made it. It was awesome.
And, like, Ryan Reynolds was born to play that role. So, like, I just don't think, I think that the world has gotten too PC with all the outside bullshit that's going on right now, all the horrible tragedy stuff that's been going on, but, like, still people still need a release. You know what I mean? And I don't think it, you know, necessarily affects somebody's character. But Deadpool is a good, like, you know, thing. I'm not saying that, like, it should be, you know, blood on wrestling. But what I'm saying is it needs to be relatable. And it's not relatable when you have a guy that's beautiful and blah, 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 and hasn't had to, like, struggle for anything to get the title belt, Roman Reigns, because of his family and stuff like that. People aren't going to buy into it. They're going to buy into somebody like Dean Ambrose, who is the outcast, who is the guy that is fighting, like they did to Daniel Bryan. You know what I mean? So I truly don't believe that, like, the people that are watching wrestling right now, I think that our age demographic wants to watch wrestling right now, and they try, and then they put on Raw, and they're just like, this is garbage, and they turn it off. That's my true belief.
So we're talking about evolving, right? You said the word evolve.
Yeah.
And I think that WWE tried to evolve because, you know, John Cena can't do it, you know, forever, although,
oh,
you know,
God,
the guy possibly could if he wanted to. And
he's a machine. He's a fucking cyborg.
Genetic,
you know,
freak,
I mean?
You know, exactly, cyborg. So we're talking about evolve, and I think that
Be careful talking about John Cena, because sometimes you lose your concentration.
Yeah. So, yeah, we can get to a whole different episode on that.
Oh, yeah. We can talk about John Cena all day.
But they try to evolve, and, you know, they went with the main event at WrestleMania 30, and because the fans demanded it, they had to change plans, and they went with Daniel Bryan. It was his WrestleMania, which, in the long run, was the right way to go. So then they go to WrestleMania 31. They had their mindset that, hey, Roman Reigns is going to be the guy. But then, of course, the fans had backlash to Roman Reigns being shoved down our throats, right? So the WWF wanted to evolve with Roman Reigns. And now, how do you feel? The fans not letting them do it?
I note about that. You can finish your question. But, like, yeah, 31, like, they still went with Roman Reigns. And what happened? Seth Rollins cashed in. And they needed to do that. You know what I mean? And that was probably the biggest spot that ever happened in WrestleMania in recent history. You know what I mean? Like, Seth Rollins was a heel, and he was slimy, and nobody was like, and he was a member of the Shield. And that boy came out, and he cashed in, and everybody was on their freaking feet. You know what I mean? And it was a great moment. You know what I mean? There was never a cash in at WrestleMania. And Seth Rollins ran with it. And Seth Rollins wasn't the best guy. He was, you know what I mean? I mean, phenomenal in the ring. The guy is just a beast. You know what I mean? But, like, they gave him the ball and they ran. And he evolved and he owned it and he became this character. And people can sit there and say, oh, Seth Rollins was book crappy and like they made him a slimy heel. That was the purpose of his character.
Hey, that's
like,
a heel. At the end of the day, that's a heel. A heel does that. He runs away. He's supposed to be a coward.
Shit, you know
exactly.
What I mean? So, like, and it worked. And the people respected him. You know what I mean? And he was working with crap. You know what I mean? He was doing the best that he could. And Seth Rollins, like, grew on the mic and he grew just in that character. Like, even if there was nothing outside of that, like, he grew and owned being the slimy heel chicken shit guy. And now it's funny because I can't wait for him to come back. You know what I mean? Like, I was a huge Seth Rollins fan. I wasn't a big fan when he was in the Shield, but, like, as a champion, I was into him. And they let him hold the belt for a long time. Like, people, again, predetermined, blah, blah, blah. But yet they still have a game plan for these people. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Like, if they're choosing you to hold the belt for a long time, they have a lot of interest in you. It's the same thing with CM Punk when CM Punk held the belt for 434. They trusted him. So, like, I'm really curious to see Seth come back. Like, he was back at TLC or it was the Slammies. He accepted his award. He was still doing the heel thing. But that guy is going to come out, and he's going to get huge pop. Because people miss him right now. They want him back. He was doing great work, you know, with John Cena, with Triple H, with whoever he was in, with Sting, with whoever he was in the ring with. And that's what I'm saying. Like, he wasn't the guy that maybe they were pushing him, but I don't think that they really wanted to push him. But, like, he became the guy, you know what I mean? And he was a heel, and it was okay. You know what I mean? So...
Yeah, when Seth Rollins comes back, it's definitely going to be an interesting situation what happens there for the mere fact that, like we just said...
He's going to be a face because they have no choice.
He has no choice. He is so over right now when he accepted his word. He was getting chance. He insulted the crowd, and the crowd didn't care because they just loved him. Similar to Phil Brooks, who, you know, I don't call him his other name. But you know, Phil Brooks going out there and basically being a heel and, you know, winning over the crowd.
Yeah, but, like, what I'm saying is that, like, and they've done it smart, too. I don't know if it's WWE doing it or if it's Seth Rollins, like, actually being like, okay, I kind of have, like, a say in stuff. He's been, like, radio silent. You know what I mean? He hasn't been around. He hasn't, like, popped up. He hasn't, like, been on social media a lot and stuff like that. And they're doing the right thing with him. Because when he comes back, you're going to see something. And I... Like, as much as I think that, like, he was a great heel, and I really do think that, and people could disagree with me, and I really don't care, but I feel that he's going to be a great face, and he's going to be a great adversary to the authority and whatever, because he's new, and he's fresh, and he's talented, and I just, they've done it right with him, and I hope that he doesn't come back too early, because there's rumors that he might be as good as May. And, like, yeah, he could be good in May, but, like, I think he should take the whole time and go to SummerSlam, make sure he's really healed so he doesn't get injured again. Cause
yeah, he'll be eager to want to come back as soon as possible because he's doing in-ring work. But at the same time, smart bet, smart booking, theoretically, which we all think we're good bookers, you got to hold him off.
Till SummerSlam.
You got to hold him off to SummerSlam.
I do want to, but, like, it's so bad right now in the WWE with injuries that they're going to push him to come back early. I mean, it's the same thing that happened, you know. I mean, it's a little different now because injuries are rampant in WWE, but, like, when Punk got injured and he had the knee surgery, they kept sticking him on TV, and, like, they should have kept him off. They shouldn't have brought him back at Payback to fight Chris Jericho. They should have kept him off, you know what I mean? They should have kept him off to SummerSlam, let him get healed, let him be a thing, and, like, when that, I mean, Punk could do anything and he'd get a huge pop, but, like, imagine the pop that he would have gotten if they would have kept him silent and let him get healed. And then he came back right before SummerSlam and fought Brock. Do you know what I mean? Like, it would have been way more over than what it was. And that's, I think, a huge problem in the WWE is that they don't think long-term anymore. They only think, excuse me, I'm drinking water, short-term. So, you know, it is what it is.
Woo! Take a breath, Mary. Take a breath. Woo!
Take a breath. I didn't mean to cut you off before.
No.
Stuff to come back.
I stepped out. What did I miss? No. Mary.
She is passionate. Don't tell you about that. This woman knows her shit and has not afraid to say it because at the end of the day, you know, I'm not trying to kiss Mary's ass here, but everything she said was right on point.
It is. I mean, speaking from a person that loves the business, you know, the only thing I would say about Seth Rollins is the only critique, he just got to pick better girlfriends. Yes, you know why.
I'm sure he has his, a good line to choose from.
You know, I was going
to
talk about Mania, but you talked about CM Punk and Brian Caldwell and Phil Brooks, whatever. Everyone has their take. Everyone has their take on him. I'm a CM Punk fan. I really admire him. But you know what? Talk about a guy that a lot of people don't agree with how he left the company or how he, you know, conducts himself with people, and he's not the most approachable person, depending on who you are. But, you know, I got to respect the fact that, you know what, at the end of the day, he changed the business, in my opinion, because look at the guys in NXT. Look at the people that are coming up. It's become a wrestling show. And, you know, it's just, to me, he was a trailblazer that unfortunately left the business before he saw it turn for the better as far as NXT and the young guys coming up.
Yeah, I mean, we could do, like, a four-hour podcast about that subject. Punk. Yeah, you're absolutely what everything that you just said is right. And
oh, great, not just
good. I'm glad. See, she finally admitted that I'm right about something. So that's it. We can end the show here.
Well, great, Jeff. You have one person that agrees with you. Yeah,
right. Punk. All right. So here's my thing about Punk. Punk is the reason why I started watching wrestling again. I had fallen out of wrestling after the Chris Benoit tragedy. I was still watching it, but I wasn't watching it, like, consistently. But I was still watching pay-per-views, and I was still following. And then, like, that all happened, and my innocence was ruined with it. Because for me, wrestling, even though, like, I love it, it's my passion, and I take it seriously to an extent probably I shouldn't as a chick, it's my childhood. It's the one thing that connects me with my childhood. And it was a very innocent thing, and then, like, it got destroyed. So I fell out. And I was in a relationship, and then me and my ex broke up, and I had a lot of time on my hands. So I was like, all right, I'm going to start watching Raw again, you know?
Ooh, who's and I that started guy watching, with the tattoos?
Yeah. He wasn't in the wrestling. So I started watching at the tail end of 2011 and started 2012. And it was awful. Like, I can't, like, I was watching it, and it was like, what am I watching?
It got to the point where it was excruciating enough where, like, yeah, you're thinking, you know, instinctively, I want to turn on and watch Raw, but, like, why? There's no point.
Yeah, but it was so bad. It was so PG. It was so kid BS, like, Santino, like, come on, man. And I was just wondering what happened, and Punk was there, and he was different, and he was the only thing that was watchable in the whole entire show, and, like, I waited for his segments, you know what I mean? And, like, he was old school, and he was real, and he was the only reason that I continued to watch and gave me hope that maybe it would turn around and go back to maybe what it was. And I'm not the only person that said that. My one brother, who's, like, I have two brothers, one's very into wrestling. They were both very into wrestling, but my one brother was, like, I would watch for CM Punk. Like, you know what I mean? And, like, my brother, you know, taught me wrestling along with my father. So, you know, Punk, I mean, people can sit there and badmouth him, and they have every right to. The guy's a dick. But my best friend who doesn't watch wrestling, who's a big MMA fan, and she's excited to see Punk fight in the MMA, she turned to me and said one day, like, when Punk left and when everything was going on and all the rumors and then the podcast came out and all that stuff, she turned around and looked at me and said, just because you're an asshole doesn't mean you're not right. And that's basically how I look at him. You know what I mean? Like, he probably could have done it in a better way, but he's so, what's the word I'm looking for? He's so vindicated in his beliefs that he won't stray, you know what I mean? And people can sit there and hate him or whatever. If he never left, Daniel Bryan would have never won the belt. And I know that's unfortunate because Daniel Bryan should have won the belt no matter what. But if Punk didn't walk out that year, Bryan would have never been in the main event because it was supposed to be Triple H, CM Punk. And none of that stuff would have happened. And people could be like, oh, he's pissed off about not being in the main event. Punk has said numerous times that when all that crap was going on, that he said it was Daniel Bryan's year. Him and Daniel Bryan are friends. Close, whatever, blah, blah, blah. They came up on the indies together, whatever. But he knew it was Daniel Bryan's year, and he knew that Daniel Bryan was getting shafted. You know what I mean? And, like, he was going to get more shafted than Punk got shafted. So the guy was a trailblazer, and you're absolutely right. All this stuff that's going on in NXT, all this stuff with Kevin Owens coming up and Sami Zayn coming up and all these indies getting signed, Austin Aries, Samoa Joe. These are guys that Punk was going toe-to-toe with on the indie scene. And, like, they wouldn't have batted an eye if Punk didn't do what he did. And people were so behind Punk because he was relatable and he was good. And he's the best mic guy that has come along. I mean, Kevin Owens is giving him a run for his money right now.
I mean, he's good. He's good. I've read it before.
Like, listen, I love Punk, you know, and I disagree when he does shit that I'm just like, what are you doing, dude? You're just being a dick right now. But, like, Owens is giving him a run for his money right now. But, like, he was so refreshing, and he could go toe-to-toe, and he could do anything. You know, you could put him on commentary, and it was amazing. And, like, everybody's like, oh, CM Punk fanboys and fangirls. No, the guy changed the business. And if he didn't leave, if he didn't make a stand, you know what I mean? Like, Brian would have never been in that main event, and then Brian wouldn't have gotten all the fucking, you know, all the momentum that he had going against him, which Punk shouldn't have had to leave for him to get. I'm not saying that. But it had to take somebody who was at the top, and, like, even though they never treated him like he was at the top, Punk was at the top. You know, he was the second guy in the company, and argue me that. You know what I mean? It was John Cena, and it was Punk. Punk was out.
More merchandise. I'm merchandising the guy.
Merchandising is John Cena because of kids. But there were kids that didn't like John Cena, you know what I mean? I ran into random kids on the street, and they were CM Punk fans.
Yeah. No, but there was a point where I think CM Punk said it, too, that he had out-merchandised Cena when he was a face, too. So he was getting word of mouth, and people were on the CM Punk bandwagon. To wrap it up on Punk, do you see him ever coming back? If not WWE, just coming back? Because so far, if by the time we wait for him to make a UFC appearance, you know, we're probably going to be, you know.
Focusing on UFC 200, I think he's going to make his debut then. But, I mean, I look at Punk in a different way also as a wrestler. I look at him as a businessman. And I, like, truly believe that even though he's trying this UFC thing, and I think that's what he wants to do, and I think he's going to do it just to prove people that he can do it, I do believe he'll be back at some point. And I think that he's using UFC as a leverage. Because he wanted to get the accolades that John Cena and Brock Lesnar had, and nobody ever took him seriously. So I feel like he feels that if he makes it in UFC, he'll have more leverage. And I know that Vince would sign him back in a heartbeat because it was a detriment to the company. They've never been able to fill the space that CM Punk left when he left. So, like, Daniel Bryan filled it, and then Daniel Bryan got injured, and right now they're, like, scrambling. Like, Seth Rollins could have filled it. I feel like Sami Zayn might fill it. I feel like Kevin Owens might fill it, too. You know what I mean? But, like, there was just this spark about him because he was so rebellious. And I think that if it doesn't work out in UFC, and I truly believe he's going to win his first fight, and I truly believe he's going to get his ass kicked in the second fight, I think that he'll be back, and it'll be on his terms this time. But if he doesn't come back to WWE, I always think there's a chance with ROH. You know what I mean? Like, I know he says he's done with wrestling, but wrestling is his heart, and it's where he came from. And somebody with the beliefs and you know, how CM Punk is so diligent in everything that he does, I feel like that he needs to retire there. You know what I mean? It's like Kurt Angle. There's no way Kurt Angle is going to retire and not have one last run in the WWE, even if he's injured, even if it's one match. You know what I mean?
It's what they always say, though, right? Never say never, right, Mary?
Never say never.
And time heals all wounds, basically. And we'll see what happens. I don't know if he'll come back theoretically to the WWE. He might come back to Ring of Honor. But at the same time, I think he's got one fight under his belt, and after that, let's see what happens. He first has to get to that first fight, though. But
I just, like, it's the same thing. Like, real quick, like, he was supposed to debut at 199, and then all of a sudden his fight got booked with Mickey Gall. And then all of a sudden, he had to get back surgery, which was a lingering injury from when Ryback missed the freaking table. That monster. That,
yeah. Are you stupid? Or are you doing it on purpose?
Whatever.
Exactly.
And,
I am stupid.
And, like, the thing was, is that Punk was out for a year in between leaving WWE and UFC. He could have gotten that surgery done. The guy's a millionaire. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like he strategically did it just because he wants to debut at 200 and he knows that's going to be the biggest card and he feels that he should be on the biggest card. So,
yeah, who knows? And they got licensing. I mean, I doubt it's going to happen in New York City, but yeah, maybe it was a strategic move, but also probably the mindset. We all know a lot of pro wrestlers are just nitty-gritty like that. They just deal with injuries. They didn't want to delay.
They have huge egos too, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that, like, listen, I love Punk, but he has a huge ego, you know what I mean?
I just feel
that he thinks that, like, I don't want to debut on 199, I should be debuting on 200, and I feel like it was, you know, because people at first was like 4 to 6 months, oh, he's not fighting, but it only turned into 4 to 6 weeks. So I just feel like maybe that was a strategic move just to be like, oh, well, I should be debuting at 200, not at 199.
Yeah, I mean, it all makes sense. I mean, if you really think about it, though. But like you said, with what he did, it was relatable. You know, it made things relatable. What's not relatable to me, honestly, is this WrestleMania card. I mean, you've spoken.
Yeah,
you've spoken about how, like, on your Raw blogs, the love, and how, like, Raw is garbage. And it's true. It is garbage. But for the mere fact that, you know, they're trying to break attendance records here. They're trying to set records from what they did at the Pontiac Silverdome, trying to break 93,000, although that number is somewhat skewed, can be very easily manipulated, too. I mean, and this is the promotion you guys are giving us. This is the way you guys are booking to get us amped up to break the attendance record, to go and pay our good hard-earned money to go see it. I mean,
You guys are going.
Yeah, well, again, you know, we did it without knowing what was going to happen. You know, it's just like the fever. Once you do one WrestleMania,
it's a drug,
believe
Mary.
Me, Mary, it's a drug. You know, once you do one, just because you don't might not have the finances with me and Jeff, you know, even Jeff and I don't have finances. We still trying to find a way to make it work, but it's a bug. You got to do it more than once. But with this card lined up right here, I mean, I'll get right to the nitty gritty here. I mean, what should be the main event? Everybody goes back and forth how they're all traditionalists, saying it should be the WWE World Heavyweight Championship match. The title should be the last match. And me, Shane McMahon, and Undertaker should be the last one. But neither match has had the storyline or the intrigue to get me invested in it. What about you?
As far as this WrestleMania goes, because it feels like piecemeal. And it feels like, you know, they've had to change the main event for the last 2 years with Roman Reigns, and they're so hardcore on Roman Reigns. But the Roman Reigns experiment is not working. It's very obvious. The guy is getting booed out of the place everywhere, and I just don't understand why they won't turn him heel, but that's a story for another day. I feel that, yes, the title should always be the last match, but at this point, if you look at the two matches, the company is on the line. The company is bigger than the title. You know, like, control of Raw or whatever, if Shane gets control of Raw, I mean, and they said it the first time that it came back, you get in control of Raw, you're in control of the company. That's the flagship show. That's where everything goes down. You know, there's no general manager, but, like, Stefan Trips are in charge of Raw. That's the main event. You know what I mean? And it's the Undertaker. You know what I mean? So, like, you can't, and you have Shane McMahon coming back.
And his career's on the line if he loses.
Yeah, which they just brought up this week, and that was stupid. And that's another tangent. But what I'm saying is, if you take all the pieces together, like if you separate them, and you're like, okay, you got Shane and Undertaker and Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania, and first off, it's WrestleMania, it's Undertaker. Second off, it's Shane, who hasn't been with the company in years, and he just came back. And he, technically, no offense to Stephanie, is the birthright. It's the son. It's always the son. It's like a prince and a king. It's a son. You know what I mean? So Shane is back, and you have the company, or Raw, which is basically the company, on the line. Like, then you have Triple H and Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns, who is being a force face that nobody freaking likes, who's gotten opportunity after opportunity, has already held the belt twice in 3 years. He's not John Cena. I mean, at least John Cena had, like, something going for him when he first won. You know what I mean? And then you have Trips. No disrespect to Triple H. As far as I'm concerned, as a part-time champ, he's doing a great job. The guy can still go. He's still a beast. And he's fighting. He's actually having matches on Raw and stuff like that.
Which is kind of scary when you think about it, right, Mary? Because the mere fact of dealing with so many injuries, you had what happened to Neville against Jericho. I mean, can Triple H really afford to get injured by this time?
Can you imagine? He's like, he tore the quads, you know, just stepping
just by
wrong.
Planting
he,
wrong.
Like, he hops down the ring and he blows a quadricep or something like that. That'd be nuts.
It'd be awful, but like, I feel like Trips is on another level at this point. Yeah. He's really careful and stuff like that. But, like, again, it's not a disrespect towards him, but it's like, you have a part-timer versus this guy that nobody wants.
Yeah.
For a title that Vince McMahon has come out openly and said doesn't mean shit. He's said it a billion freaking times. He doesn't care about the title. You know what I mean? So it's like the company to me is more worth than the title, because when the company is decided who's in control of the company, then the title comes second. And then, like, you know, that's when you get the matches and stuff like that. I think that if they choose to have, and again, this goes back to the last 2 years with them having to change everything and having to move pieces around the board, so to say. If they put Triple H and Roman Reigns as the main event, I feel people are going to be walking out. I feel that people are going to be wiped, especially if you have Shane McMahon and Undertaker before that. And
yeah, great point. Yeah, emotionally drained.
Like, emotionally drained. Especially, like, listen, I think Undertaker is going to be better than last year and better than he was 2 years ago. I think Undertaker, like, took a step back and, like, decided, like, okay, this is what I got to do to condition myself, and he's in a lot better shape. He's still not going to put on a match like he did at 25. But Shane McMahon is, despite what anybody says, he's a beast, and that guy doesn't care, and he's going to go for the jugular. And, like, people are going to be emotionally drained from that match. They're going to get all these high spots and all this crazy stuff. And then you're going to have a power match. Again, not disrespecting Triple H, but he's a power move wrestler. It's not going to be anything fantastic. It's going to be bloody, maybe. It's going to be hard-hitting, and that's good. But Roman Reigns can't hang like that. That's all he knows. You know what I mean? You have Shane McMahon, who's probably going to take a dive off the thing, and Undertaker, who's going to do some crazy crap. You can't. You, like, even if you want the belt to be, like, a little bit, like, respected at this point, which I don't even know if it is, you know what I mean? Like, they're just, you can't, you know what I mean? Even if you throw, like, a ref in there, even if it's, like, Stone Cold or The Rock as the referee in the Triple H Reigns match, I don't think it'll carry, you know what I mean? The moneymaker, the reason why they brought Shane back is because there are so many injuries, and this is the hook, you know what I mean? And it's unfortunate that the buildup has been crap, because the build-up could have been better. It's like, you know, Steph was involved in the first segment that happened, and now she's nowhere. Like, this matters as much to Stephanie McMahon as it does to Shane and Vince. So why isn't Stephanie more actively involved in the matches? And I do feel that they need to have Triple H and Roman Reigns go before them, because I still think that Triple H and Stephanie are going to be a variable in the Shane McMahon-Undertaker match.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. Think about this. In the three matches that are supposed to be like main event style, with Lesnar, Ambrose, Reigns, Triple H, Shane McMahon, Undertaker, two out of the six are full-timers. The other ones are part-timers. Talk about building around part-timers again for your card.
And Mary, real quick, before we run out of time here, and you're listening to The High Spot, catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcasts. Mary Grader here. Catch her on Twitter too. The Mayor at Mayor_Bear. What match on this card right now? There's supposedly 11 matches on here. Which one in your mind?
Guys, I can't believe there's that many matches.
It's more quantity than quality.
Yeah, exactly. But which one of these quantities, as Jeff likes to say, do you feel has the best manner or best way of stealing the show at Mania?
I think AJ Styles, Chris Jericho is going to be a show stealer. I really, 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 really hope they were going to just do Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Yeah, me too.
It's a ladder match.
Though Jericho and AJ isn't official yet, but yeah.
I mean, they made it a ladder match. Apparently, seven people. Zack Ryder is in it. Poor Zack Ryder. I feel bad for him. But, you know, I mean, good for him. He's getting paid. But
hey, the guy's dating Emma, right? I don't feel that bad for Zack Ryder, okay? He's still my girl.
Like, even with that match, like, they could have done Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, The Miz, and, like, another person. And there was another person that was, like, hugely involved in that. Maybe it was Neville. I don't know.
Or Ziggler, maybe?
Ziggler, that's what I meant. Ziggler. And I think they could have had a Fatal 4-Way, and it would have been really, really good. And I think it would have... The ladder matches always still the show, and they do have good competitors in it. But, like, I feel it's a wash. I feel like they should have done Kevin Owens for Sami Zayn. I don't understand. And I honestly feel like the true show stealer is going to be the triple threat with the ladies.
Yes.
I really think that Charlotte, Sasha, and Becky.
I was getting worried there, Mary, for a second. I didn't know if you were going to touch it. I was like, please, please.
I feel like they have a mission. And chicks, speaking as a chick, when you're told something and you're given an allotted amount of time, and, like, this is the first meeting in a while that it's actually been, like, a true title match, not, like, a rumble or, like, you know, what they did to AJ 2 years ago and was, like, oh, free-for-all. Like, it's an actual match, and, like, there's a huge storyline behind it. Like, if you look at the card, the only stuff that really has storylines behind it is AJ and Chris and the triple threat. Those are the only ones that have true, genuine storylines. Like, they could say that Roman Reigns and Triple H does, but it falls flat. Like, the ladies are carrying this over from NXT, and everybody knows what NXT was, and the people that are going to be at Mania are true wrestling fans. So I really, really think that the girls, the ladies, are going to bring it, and I think it's going to be a really, really good match, and I think they're going to try to top what they've done in NXT, and now they have this huge showcase, you know what I mean? And I think, like, even if they're directed to do something, I think they're going to call audibles and they're going to do whatever the hell they want. So I think that's a show stealer. I also wouldn't count out Lesnar Ambrose. I still think that match is going to be, it's a street fight, it's on whole bar, and I don't think he's going to use a chainsaw.
Yeah, don't have like Greca hear you say that.
You know what? Dean Ambrose is the kind of guy that he can take a beating, he can get beat up, and if he keeps rising up to Lesnar, like, I see a total beatdown in Ambrose, but I see Lesnar, like, you know, beating him down, and then just Ambrose just getting up, and then just the crowd's going to get over with this guy.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Like, everything that they're doing that has been, like, super cheesy with Dean Ambrose and stuff like that, I honestly, again, it's WrestleMania, so it's like, you know, no holds barred, like, and the gloves are off. I really, truly believe that you're going to see a side of Dean Ambrose that you haven't seen in the WWE before.
His backside is going to get whooped all
like,
night.
Like, I just, because, like, with Barbie, they went over the line with the chainsaw. I'm not going to say that's stupid. But, like, when they brought in, you know, Mick with Barbie, I was just like, they're going to see John Moxley on Sunday. I don't think they're going to see Dean. I think it's going to start out mellow, and I think that Brock is one of those guys that wants, you know, Brock always leads in pay-per-views, and I think that Brock's going to be like, go for it, dude. You know what I mean? And I think that you're going to see a side of Dean that the WWE has never seen before. So I think that's the sleeper, but I really do think that the ladies are going to steal the show.
Yes, definitely. I mean, Dean Ambrose, he's my version of Brian Pillman now in this PG era. Mary, just one more thing real quick. Just give who goes over on this one. Shane McMahon, Undertaker, who goes over?
I really don't know, dude.
You got to pick one. You got
to
pick one.
Can I have till the countdown to find out?
I think there's going to be McMahon again. There's going to be shenanigans.
Yes.
Like, I can't, like, that match is not going to end cleanly. Everything that happened, that like they could have built it up better. I either think that Undertaker is in Shane's pocket, and I truly believe that,
yeah.
Or I think that Shane and Vince are working together to get Steph and Trips out. So I think that Shane's going to win either way, and I don't know if it's going to be the Undertaker, like, not a finger poke of doom, but like just like going after Vince and getting distracted, and Shane gets pinned, or
wacky roll up guy.
Or Vince screwing Undertaker, so Shane wins, and at the end of the day, Shane and Vince hug. And
there's got to be a swerve, playing. Mary.
There's got to be a swerve.
Like we want something so bad. We want to leave Jerry World like happy. You know what I mean? There's got to be something they're cooking up.
There's going to be an oh my god moment, depending if it happens in Hell in a Cell.
Do that on week to week TV, and you're always disappointed. It's like Roblox. Like, why the hell did they have that match with Dean Ambrose?
It's gotta be a huge payoff.
Time filler.
You know what I mean? You know, yeah. Brock beat the Undertaker. Seth Rollins cashed in. Daniel Bryan won the title. So you never know. But that match, that's why it has to be the last two, because there is going to be McManigans. That's my word.
McManigans. That's what Shawn Michaels said one time. Yeah, I love that. Mary, it is so amazing to have you on. We've been trying to do this for the longest time.
So, yeah.
We finally booked her. We went through all the channels. We talked to her people. We gave her all the things she wanted, you know, because we need to have her on.
Blood is dry. And, we have no more money for the show.
Regardless of that. But still, sometimes the best things left are worth waiting for. Mary, thank you so much. As Mary Grader.
Thanks for having me.
No, thank you. And we're looking forward to WrestleMania. And Mary, we'd love to have you back on again.
Listen, if WrestleMania sucks, I need you to come back on and vent.
know, I'm totally down for being, like, venting, like, oh, my God, like, Raw is garbage. I'll be like, WrestleMania is garbage. But absolutely, you guys have a good time in Texas. Yep. I will be holding the front fort down here in New York for Busted Open. And then next pay-per-view, which, what's the next pay-per-view after WrestleMania?
Payback.
Payback. Payback. Yeah. Payback my house.
Awesome. We're there.
Awesome. We're down. Mary, thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Later. Again, that was Mary Grader. What a great interview with her. She has just so much enthusiasm. And we can talk about wrestling literally for 3 to 5 straight hours because there's so many things. It goes in one direction and comes out the other. It really can go anywhere. And it's just great to sit down and talk to her after so long trying to get her on the show. She was able to graciously give us some of her time, which is very valuable. And we appreciate, Jeff and I do. And it's just nice to sit down and talk to Mary. So you guys have been listening to the High Spot Podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed that episode. Catch us every week as we given newer episodes post-WrestleMania. And again, follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. We'll be posting guest lists. We want to hear from you guys. We want your questions, your comments as well, and be answering them as we're doing the shows. And at the same time, you know, things like a YouTube channel coming up, Facebook, working on obviously a website too, where we can post all these things and, you know, so much more along the lines. Jeff and I couldn't be more excited to do it, and especially doing it for you guys. So again, you're listening to the High Spot Podcast. For my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, I'm Brian Berger. We will see you guys next time.